in deep levels, Lord, as people under you. Lord, we are so grateful, and we pray now, Lord, as we continue to look at using the Psalter in worship, we ask, Father, that you would draw us nearer into your word by your Spirit, Lord, that we may see and understand, that we may obey, and that we may know all the riches and the joy that you have there for us. We ask that you'd be with us now, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm not on? It says it's on here. It says it's on. Now we're up? All right. So we've been talking about singing the Psalms these last couple of Sundays. Today's the last one we're going to do that. We have talked about the metrical Psalms. This is the one that we've been using the most, that is most accessible. On your handouts, when you see that QR code, it'll take you to the website that has everything that is in this book on it for free, which is really, really nice. Today we're going to be talking a little more about chant. We have Anglican chant, we have Gregorian chant or plain song. We've talked a bit about those, we'll talk more today. And then I mentioned last time the Dutch Door Psalter. It finally came in the mail on Friday. I'm very excited. And so it has the top and the bottom divided. So you can choose which psalm you want, and then you can choose which piece of music you want to sing with it, right? You could have done that with scissors, thank you. I'm just going to order it online. So this one is really, really neat. It has a different musical notation, the solfege or the solfa style of singing. I don't know how to do it, but I'm learning, and it's really, really neat. This used to be a very popular way of doing it. I found this at a bookstore in Scotland, and I got into a bit of a communication with the owners, and they said they sell these kind to a few churches in Africa, and that's it, because they're fairly cheap, and so these churches can afford them, and they have kept this tradition alive. They said almost nobody else. They send books all over the world, and nobody orders these. They have these with the regular music, but it's four times as much if you want one of those. So if you want these, they're fairly cheap. They said, so just in Africa, and so they were curious why I wanted them. And so that was really neat. So it came on Friday. If you want to take a look, there's that, which is pretty neat. So just to check in, did anybody try singing the Psalms this week at all? Do you have any feedback, any stories of how it went, any thoughts at all? Victor.
Friday morning.
Yes. Beautiful. I like that. So good. But what a blessing, right? What a blessing.
I'm an alto, so I found that some people were a little high to sing by
myself. Oh, okay, really? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Especially maybe just an actor.
Yeah. Yeah, then that's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I suppose if we want to use the actual melodies that are online, you're stuck with whatever key they do it in, right? If you're confident with the melody, then you could choose your own key and just sing it a cappella. You'd be confident in that, I guess. Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, not very profound realizations, but just singing them, actually spending time.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That has been very much my experience too. It forces me to slow down, right, and to think about each line and the words that are there. I tend to read too fast. That slows it down. And then the melodies stick in your head, and I find myself singing bits and pieces, and that's really good. All right, before we get into the chant part, we're going to sing one. We're going to sing Psalm 148 in the metrical Psalter. If you guys could get that one up. This one is a psalm of praise. We're going to sing it to the melody of Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, which I thought was just marvelous with this one. I think it's so pretty. It reminds me of Steve Bell. I think it's a Steve Bell-ish type of a... He didn't write either one, but that's okay. This one was a little difficult for me to figure out where the syllables went. I think there'd probably be a couple of different ways that you could sing it. So we'll sing it the way I learned it. And not that that's hard or anything, but okay, if you guys could hit play there, let's listen to the melody once.
Heavens praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels, praise him, all his hosts who know his love. Praise him, sun and moon, and praise him, all you shining stars of light. Praise him, all you highest heavens and...
All right, from verse 1.
Praise the Lord, praise from the heavens, praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels, praise him, all his hosts who know his love. Praise him, sun and moon, and praise him, all you shining stars of light. Praise him, all you highest heavens, and you waters in the height. Let them praise the Lord's name, for he spoke and they all came to be. He set them in place forever, everlasting his decree. Praise the Lord from all the earth, all ocean depths and creatures there. Lightning, hail, snow, clouds, and winds that do his bidding everywhere.
That's a bit of a tough line.
Praise him, mountains and all hills, all fruit trees and all cedars too. Creeping things and flying birds, all cattle and wild creatures too. Kings of earth and all you nations, princes, rulers everywhere. Young men, maidens, old men, children, let all earth his praise declare. Let them ever praise the Lord's name, his name is exalted high. For his splendor and his glory are above the earth and sky. He has lifted up a horn for his own people all their days. Israel, the people near him, give the Lord wholehearted praise.
End it there, guys. Man, that one is so pretty. I've been singing that one all week long. You can hear with the way some of the syllables are broken up, you could probably arrange it a little bit differently than I did, right? Sing a few more syllables here, and that's how I broke it up. But that one is really, really nice to do. Okay, chant. We are going to talk today about chanting the Psalms. And we're going to learn a little bit about Anglican chant. I'm going to give you one example, and then as time allows, we're actually going to practice a little bit of Gregorian chant. Maybe we can get a couple of verses in. Now, this style of singing the Psalms isn't necessarily going to be for everyone, and that's fine. We're just going to have some fun with it today. And we're going to learn a little bit about this form of worship, and if people want to pursue it more, they can. And if not, that's fine, too. We're just going to have some fun with it. And as I was learning this over the past month or two and thinking about teaching it a little bit, one thought occurred to me was we understand the scriptures as reading, we read them. We understand them as meditation. We understand them as preaching. We understand them as Bible study. But we don't usually understand them or use them as fellowship. Fellowship will often be the part where we visit, right? So we'll have a Bible study, and then we'll have fellowship. And learning chant like this, where you actually have to engage with an actual text of Scripture instead of talking about Scripture, which is good, but here we're actually immersing ourselves in a text of Scripture. We are fellowshipping together in the Word. And we can introduce laughter, we can introduce work and practice in the words of Scripture themselves, which I think is a real special gift that we can use. So the thing to know about chant is that the music is flexible. In modern music, music is not flexible. It's divided. If you look in your hymnals, right, it's all divided into different measures, and you'll have, say, 4 beats to a measure, and it counts 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and the music is built very mathematically and very structured, and all the words have to match with the music. The music doesn't change, and the words have to match. In chant, it's exactly the opposite. The music becomes flexible, and the words are in charge, which makes it sound strange to our ears because there's no beat. You can't follow a beat. It doesn't rhyme. It takes the plain text of Scripture as it is. Once you know how to do it, you could open your Bible to a psalm and just enchant it. You wouldn't have to change anything. It doesn't have to rhyme. It doesn't have to have a beat. It doesn't have to have melody as we understand it. So it's very, very different, and it sounds different to our ears. Chant is meant to keep the natural flow of language. It is said that the music is the handmaiden to the words. The words are in charge of the music, and it's different to what we normally hear. It's very irregular. It's irregular because it's more how we speak than how we sing. In singing, we would tend to elongate some of the vowels. In chant, you're supposed to keep it as much as natural speech as you can. I think that we introduce a little more melody, perhaps, into chant than it is intended, because that's where our ears go, and that's fine. But we have to understand that the music of the chant is flexible. And so in Anglican chant, this started in the 1600s, and it grew out of Gregorian chant, but it is distinctly different. It has more modern elements to it. And what you have then is the music. And I'm not going to spend time explaining the music. I'll do that in Gregorian chant. But it has the music, and then it has the text underneath it. And the text, it has what's called pointed. It's pointed text, which means there are little markings all over the text, a little line here, a little star here, different things like that, which is pointed text. And that is what's going to tell you what to do with the music. So on the back of your handouts, that's Gregorian chant. That's the one we're going to be learning. You can see it has a bit of that pointed text in it as well. By the waters of Babylon, we sat down, there's a little dot, and wept, there's a little star, right? Down at the very bottom, verse 11, as it was in the beginning, there's that little arrow, and then there's a little cross that's called a flex. That's pointed text. And each one of those things means something, and it tells you what to do with the music that is above it. And the similar thing with Anglican chant. And in Anglican chant, it is meant to be, it can go from one person to a very large group. It can be done, it can be done just by one person, but it is intended to grow into harmonies, into choirs, in big cathedrals, right, where it'll reverberate around a huge organ, and it gets quite massive. And then they do different ways of doing it. They do a lot of call and response, antiphonal recitation, responsorial recitation, responsive recitation, and things like that. And so you'd have one choir do one half of the verse, and then another choir would respond to the other half. Or the minister would give one line, and the congregation would give the next line, and they call back and forth, and it can be really, really, really rich. And so I want to give you one example of Anglican chant as I'm learning. I'm not good at it, but I've been working at this for a little while. So we're going to spend most of our time on Gregorian chant, but I want you to get at least a sound of what this one is. I'm going to do Psalm 36. You don't have it there. I'm not sure. The translation that we're using here is the Confraternity Bible. which I don't know that we're familiar with, the Confraternity Bible. It's based on the Latin Vulgate. So you could follow in your ESV, and you'll be able to tell where I am, but you're not going to get the exact words because this is a different translation. This book is fairly old, the Confraternity Bible. That's odd. Based on the Latin Vulgate. And this one, I chose this one. It's 12 verses long. Because this will give you a good example of the call and response. So the first four verses, if you would imagine, it has the music notation has one flat. What key is that? Who knows? One flat is F major. And then after, thank you. After the first four verses, which is an F major, it actually changes keys to two flats, which is, whoa, all right, okay, so it changes keys. The first four verses, if you would imagine the whole congregation singing it together, one big voice, and then the key will change, and it changes into a call and response. So when I hit verse five, you're going to hear the change, and if you would imagine the men singing the first half of the verse, and then the music jumps up, you'll hear it, it goes higher, and you think maybe of the ladies responding, and a call and response going through the church. Really, really beautiful. Or, perhaps even better, if you think of your home, if you have children, imagine that, once we get to verse 5, think of dad singing the first line, and you hear his kids calling in response, right? And you have, dad sings, "For with you is the well of life." And the kids respond, "And in your light, we see light," right? And you sing. You could use this in a very worshipful and meaningful way. So in verse 5, it switches. Verses 1 to 4, consider it the group. So I'm going to give it a try. I'm a little bit nervous. This is out of my wheelhouse.
36.
Mm-hmm. Psalm 36. Do you have it there in, like in ESV? There is a voice of rebellion deep in the heart of the wicked. Yes, that's the one? Okay, I should say that in some of these old Psalters, they number the Psalms a little bit differently than we have in our Bibles. Some Psalms have been put together into one, and then it throws all the rest of them off, and I didn't even think to check if that was the case here. So it is Psalm 36. All right, I'll give it a go.
There is a voice of rebellion deep in the heart of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes. He flatters himself in his own eyes, that his hateful sin will not be found out. The words of his mouth are wicked and deceitful. He has left off acting wisely and doing good. He thinks up wickedness upon his bed and has set himself in no good way. He does not abhor that which is evil.
Here comes the key change and the call and response.
Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the strong mountains, your justice like the great deep. You save both man and beast, O Lord. How priceless is your love, O God. Your people take refuge under the shadow of your wings. They feast upon the abundance of your house. You give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the well of life, and in your light we see light. Continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your favor to those who are true of heart. Let not the foot of the proud come near me, nor the hand of the wicked push me aside. See how they are fallen, those who work wickedness. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise.
So there you have Psalm 36. You can hear the call and response. You can feel very quickly it's a different experience, right? It doesn't go on a meter and it doesn't rhyme, and yet there's a very certain, at least for me, a very deep contemplative way of going through a text of scripture, going through a psalm. Now this could be moved into a really big choir. When they add the organ, which is very much what it is intended for. They'll have a big pipe organ very often. The organist has a really important job because they cannot dictate where the music is going. They have to listen to the singers. The singers will tell them when to change. And so the organist has to be really on charge. Usually the musician would be able to tell the singers, this is where the measure changes, this is where the chord changes, but not here. You have to listen. And you have your reciting tone where you stay on one note. Your righteousness is like the strong mountains, your justice like the... That's a reciting tone, and the organist has to hold that. And if the congregation is going fast, or they hold a word just a half a second longer, they have to be really in tune with how that goes. But that is a response of a little example of Anglican chant. And they would use that in all kinds of different capacities, the call and the responses and the choirs. If you look it up online, it's really, really beautiful. All right, we want to spend some time, though, on plain song, Gregorian chant. That's this guy here, St. Dunstan's Plain Song Psalter. Gregorian chant started very, very early on in the church. Within first 100, 150 years, they were probably already starting. Some of this is all, was done in Latin originally. We have it in English here. It works just as well in English as it does in Latin. And they would have heard the psalms being sung in the synagogues in a Jewish way. And they took that and adapted it into what we now know as Gregorian chant. Gregorian chant goes through the different modes. For those who are interested in that, Ionian, Dorian, Phrygian, Lydian, and so forth. But it's different versions of the different order of the major scale is all it is. So if you look at the music on your handout, we're going to see if we can learn a little bit of Gregorian chant. This psalm is a imprecatory psalm. It's one of those, right, blessed is he that taketh thy children and throweth them against the stones. It's that one. I chose this one not because of which one it was, but this was all very new to me, and as I was learning, I actually found an instructional video online, and they were doing this one, and so I wanted to get it right. And so I learned it from there, and so that's the one we're going to learn from. All right, so I'm going to explain a bit how the music works, and then we'll walk through. I'll give you a couple of lines. Maybe I'll start with a couple of lines. I will chant the first four verses. The first four verses, I won't go through the whole psalm. And then I'll explain how the music works, and then we'll start to practice it, and we'll see if we can get a couple in.
By the waters of Babylon we sat down and wept, when we remembered thee, O Zion. As for our harps, we hanged them up upon the trees that are therein. For they that led us away captive required it of us then a song and a melody in our heaviness. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?
If you've listened to Gregorian chant, you'll recognize some of those little steps.
Zion.
In Gregorian chant, they don't take big steps in the melodies. They just go laterally, one step or half a step in the major scale. Anglican chant will jump around a lot more. It's far more complicated. With Gregorian chant, you can actually follow it a lot easier. And so the music on top, let's talk a bit about that. For those of you who know music, there's some similarities and some very distinct differences. For those of you who don't know how to read music, I don't. I'm self-taught on my guitar, and I don't read music, although I can kind of figure it out. But this way of doing it is actually easier for people who don't know how to read music. It has four lines in the staff instead of the usual five. In your hymnal, you're going to see five lines. This has four, so it's different right off the hop. And starting on the left, you see the clef, you see that C there on the top line. That C represents do of the major scale. Do, re, mi, fa, do. That's do. Wherever you see that, where that note sits, that is do. But but it is not a particular pitch. In regular music, I would see that and say, oh, that would be F, right? And I'd go to the piano and I could hit F and it would be an F note. This isn't. You can choose what note you want it to be, but it's Do of the major scale. So wherever you're comfortable, if you had a group of men, or it's one guy and he has a lower voice, he's going to start it lower. And if it's women, he will start it higher, right? But you can choose. The notes don't actually regard pitch at all for starting. You can decide what it is. And then, what's the best way through? To find then the first note, you have to count down from where you have put Do, the major scale, until you hit that note. By the wa-dee-do, do. Let's go there, Do. That C is Do, Do. Now I need that first note. So it's Do, Ti, La, So, Fa. That's my note. Fa. That's where I start. Right? Because you're going down on the line, in between the lines, on the line, in between the lines, on the line. And you count down your major scale. Do, Ti, La, So, Fa. My starting note is Fa, Fa. And then there's three notes going up. Fa, So, La. Fa, So, La. By the wa. Those are the three notes. That's how you find where you're pitched. So your Do can be anything you want. I'm choosing Do, Do. That's where I want it. And by the wa. And that's comfortable for my voice. And so, now we start to move into the music. The first three notes, that's called the intonation. That's how you start a psalm. You only use those three notes in verse one when you start it. After that, you ignore it because you're going to cycle through this music all the way through the psalm again and again and again, but you do not repeat the intonation. You only do it when you start. By the wa. And when you get back to the start, which would be verse two, you don't go, as for our, you ignore the intonation. You only do it once. By the wa. That's the intonation. And then after that, you see those three notes that are sitting on the bar by themselves. That's the reciting tone. The three notes do not mean three notes at all. It's kind of like an ellipsis, the three little dots. That just means it continues on. You continue that note until you reach the first dot in the lyric, right? So by the waters of Babylon, we sat down. There's the dot. So by the waters of Babylon, we sat down. You hold those three notes until you get to down. By the waters of Babylon, we sat down. That makes sense? Okay, let's give it a go. By the waters of Babylon, we sat down. Now, we've come to a dot. Every time you come to a dot, that means you're changing over into the next piece of music. And we have those little two notes after. That's called the mediation. So we have the reciting, the intonation, the reciting tone, and then the mediation. That's a little melodic line in here. It's just two notes before you get to the break in the music. And so it has two syllables, and wept. And when those two dots, those two notes, those square notes are there, and they have the little dot after, that does mean you hold the note a little longer. People who know music will know that. And you hold, and wept, a little bit more. In Gregorian chant, you're going to see square notes, you're going to see diamond notes, you're going to see circle notes, you're going to see notes with little lines coming off of them. It's all the exact same thing. It all depends on how the writer was writing. There's nothing fancy about that. So if all of a sudden you see a diamond, it's the same as a square, it's the same as a circle, same as a parallelogram, if any of them had an injury. So the first line then, by the waters of Babylon, we sat down and wept. Try again. By the waters of Babylon, we sat down and wept. And then in the words, you see that little asterisk after wept. That asterisk corresponds to the line in between the staff that's there. That means take a breath. That's where you take a breath. Sometimes in Gregorian chant, you are going to see a half a line or a quarter of a line, which means take a breath if you need one. If it's a full line, you're going to need one. Take a breath. Right? So you'll see some of those nuances. You take a breath there. And then we move into the second half of that verse. You see we're back to a reciting tone again where we were earlier. That same note, those three notes. They don't represent three notes. Sometimes you'll go for a long stretch, sometimes a very brief stretch. But those three notes just mean until you hit the next dot, you hold that. When we remember it, you'll see a lot that they like the ED at the end of those words. We would say remembered, right? They put a little dash. So remember it, when we remember it. That's the reciting tone there. So take it from the top again. By the waters of Babylon we sat down and wept. When we remember it. Right? Have a breath there, and it goes on. You can see and feel it's a very meditative style of music. And so then, that last section, we've hit a dot, and so we move from the reciting tone. That is simply called the ending. And the ending will be a series of notes like what you see there, sometimes more complex and sometimes easier. Now, here we have something a little different. You see those two stacked notes on top of each other? I should just back up a little bit. Each note on the musical line here represents a syllable, except for the reciting tone, of course. You could keep going, but in the mediation and the ending, those are syllables. And so when you get a stacked note, that's one syllable. That's why they stack them, to let us know. Don't move on. It's one syllable, and you always read it from the lower note to the higher note. Lower note to the higher, it represents one syllable. And you see that little accent on top of the first stacked note? We're going to ignore that. They do a lot of work with accents on words. Where's a heavy accent and where's a weak accent? And that'll mean you hold the note a little longer or a little less. That's not so important. Just ignore that. But so you read from the low note to the higher, on a stacked note. Now, that little square, that little one, that hollow one there, that does not mean what you think it means. That note is not actually there unless you need it. Because the words dictate, right? The words are in charge. And so if you have in your ending 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 syllables, you're going to need that note. But if you have 4 syllables, you ignore it. It's not even there, right? So now in this first verse, we won't need it. But in the second verse, we will, right? And what's that? Someone say something? No? Okay, so then it'll sound, well, I'll go slow. When we remember it, thee, O Zion. Zion has two. Zion. Zion is accented on the first part. We don't say Zion. We say Zion, which changes the length you would hold some of the notes, but like I say, that doesn't really matter. Thee, O Zion. All right, so I'll sing the whole line, and then we'll do it together. By the waters of Babylon we sat down and wept. When we remember it, thee, O Zion. Right, that's pretty simple. Okay, let's give it a go from the start. By the waters of Babylon we sat down and wept. When we remember it, thee, O Zion. Let's do it one more time. By the waters of Babylon we sat down and wept. When we remember it, thee, O Zion. How melancholy is that if you're singing a lament, right? And you have just the voices. This is not meant for any harmonies. There should never be harmonies in plain song. There should never be any instrumentation. There should only be voices all singing the exact same pitch. There's supposed to be no ornamentation in it. Very reflective and thinking that way. And when you sing something that is sad like this, you really feel that very intensely, and you can hear that there is no beat. You can't rock to this, right? Unless you change it. It's not meant to have any sort of thump or a measured beat to it. The lyrics will dictate how the music goes. All right, so verse 2. Now, we go back to the start, except we do not do the intonation. We start right on the reciting tone. And we go up to the first dot. And so the other one would line, that the other, the end of verse one, sorry, would be, when we remember it, thee, O Zion, as for our harps we hang it them up. So the reciting tone is where you start. You don't start in the intonation. As for our harps, you're right there on that note right away. You'll do that for the rest of the song. As for our harps, we hang it them up. Okay, and then we have, right, the reciting tone of the next one is just upon the, it's very short, upon the, and we move into the ending. And the ending now, trees that are therein, trees that are therein. That is five syllables, so now we need that little blank note. And so we can go upon the, and then we'll walk it slow through. Trees that are therein. Catch that? Trees that are there. That's the ghost note. Therein. Ghost note. One guy online says, I tell my congregation it's a ghost note because it's not actually there. Sometimes it's there. So because each one is one syllable, then if we have the extra trees that are, so R is one syllable, you stack it, R, and then there is the ghost note, there, in, right? Is that making sense? And you do that quite naturally as you learn how to do it. At first, it's like you're counting syllables and you're trying to figure it out, but eventually it just comes natural and you know exactly when you need that note and when you don't, when you don't. Okay, so let's try verse 2 from the start with the reciting tone. Ha, ha. As for our harps, we hang it them up upon the trees that are therein. Man, that's good. Okay, let's try now the first two verses. We'll start from the by the waters, and that has our intonation, that little step. By the water. Okay, let's give that a go. By the waters of Babylon we sat down and wept. When we remember it thee, O Zion. As for our harps we hang it them up upon the trees that are therein. Okay, then let's try, we're going to try verse 3 right away, and there's a little, something a little different in verse 4 that we'll get to. So let's try, without any practice, let's just do verse 3 and see if you're starting to be able to follow where that, where those things go together. So nice and slow, no intonation, we write in the reciting tone. For they that led us away captive required it of us in a song and a melody in our heaviness. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. Nice. So in verse 3, we have a much longer reciting tone, and it feels a little awkward. You're kind of waiting for a beat or a measure or something, and you have to learn then as a congregation how you do it, if you're doing it as a congregation. I should have mentioned the regular notation, like a comma. We would stop and pause for a breath, or like we normally would. All right, so then in verse 4, so we would start off with the reciting tone. How shall we sing the Lord's song? We take a breath, and we immediately encounter that dot, which means we just ignore the reciting tone. It's not there. There's no syllables to sing. You move right to the dot, which means you move right into the ending. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Right. Okay. So now let's go from the top, all four verses, nice and slow, and it should start to be coming together. So with the intonation, by the waters. Right, here we go.
By the waters of Babylon we sat down and wept. When we remember it, thee, O Zion. As for our harps, we hanged them up upon the trees that are therein. For they that led us away captive required it of us, then a song and a melody in our heaviness. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?
That's so good. Ooh, I'm all flustered. That's good. Man, I like that. That's really great. And you see that very quickly, the hardest part of doing it as a group is that reciting tone over a longer period of time. You feel the group kind of, right, because one will hold the word just a little bit longer than the other. And when you have an actual melody, it's easier to follow the notes. So in verse 3, that's much longer. You get that required of us, and it gets muddy. For they that led us away captive, little breath, some will take longer, some shorter, right? Require it of us, then a song and a melody in our heaviness. And you want to put a pause in there. Require it of us, then a song and a melody in our heaviness. But there's no comma. You can't put a pause, right? And so you have to practice. It's one of the hardest things is to keep the reciting tone. And the goal is to do it in as natural a speaking way as you would have. So if I would say, for they that led us away captive required it, you can say, require it of us, then a song and a melody in our heaviness. You want to chant it like that, with those types of inflections, with that length of word. And that is one of the hardest things if you really want to get into the nuance of plain song or even Anglican chant. Okay, just one note. We're not going to get into it now because I haven't figured it out yet. Verse 11, you get that little flex, that little cross. It's a dagger. Little dagger. So, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. That flex always represents a breath. Always stop and breathe at a flex every time. And it's different than a comma. It's different than that line in the staff. It is a flex. And then just before the flex, you're usually going to see that little arrow, or you're going to see a little line. And you do something, I don't even quite know what yet, with that word, that syllable. And when I was looking it up online, they said a lot of people can't even hear it when people who are really good at it do it. It's very subtle. They'll soften the word a little bit or elongate just a touch. Then they take their breath, right? They'll slow it down just a hair, take the breath, and then it has that legato type of a smooth feeling to it. And so I haven't figured out how that works yet. You can ignore it. Just take the breath and keep going with it there. That's more advanced. So that's Gregorian chant, and it's beautiful. I think the Anglican chant is beautiful. I'd love to hear some harmonies sometime to see how that would sound. I find learning the plain song much easier than the Anglican. Being someone who doesn't read music, I have to figure it out, the notes on the guitar first, and then kind of memorize the melody. And with Gregorian chant, they don't take big steps. They're usually just moving do, re, mi, re, do, right, and those types of steps, which are much easier to make. And the notation, once you understand it, is not difficult at all. So we're going to stop there with learning it. If you want to learn more, like there's stuff online that'll teach you. Of course, I have a copy of the Psalter where this page comes from, and it's quite beautiful. Sing that in the morning over your house, and that's quite something. So we're coming to an end then of our little foray into singing the Psalms, and I wanted to end just on a final exhortation and encouragement to do it. This has been such a blessing to me, and it's such a blessed way to walk through the Psalms, to walk through our own struggles of life and faith, precisely because the journey that has been built into the Psalms themselves. The Psalms will take you from your lowest point of discouragement, and it will lead you to the highest points of worship. It doesn't leapfrog over the pain. It doesn't ignore it. It acknowledges it deeply and intimately and then guides us along the path back to faith and joy. The Bible doesn't say, suck it up, buttercup, when you're hurting. It doesn't say, hey, everything that doesn't come from faith is sin. I'm not seeing faith right now. You need to repent, sinner. It's not that. It's not that at all. And it's true, everything that doesn't come from faith is sin. But it takes a broken heart, a sadness. It takes a confusion, a crying out to God, a deep hurt, and it acknowledges it fully. Right? This is how I am feeling. God, why have you forsaken me? Everything is wrong. And the truth is God hasn't forsaken you, but it certainly feels that way, doesn't it? And it takes you from there, and it brings you along back to faith and joy again. In the Psalms, the journey matters as much as the destination. It's not just about the destination, because the journey is how you get there. That's how we move as people. We don't just leapfrog over things that have devastated our lives or have hurt us or confused us deeply, disappointed at us and how things go. It doesn't just leapfrog to the end and say, hey, keep warm and well fed. You're fine. You're not fine. I'm not fine. This is going to take some time. And the Psalms, that journey matters. That is how God has built it into his scripture to lead us along back to joy, back to faith. We don't stay there in the sadness. We don't stay there in our confusion or misery. Not at all. It leads us on to our proper posture again. And when we sing, it engages our hearts and our affections, our emotions in ways that reading it doesn't, or is maybe a little harder to access. The singing slows us down, as we said earlier. It helps us to memorize. It opens up those channels in the soul where we are reoriented. We don't just declare the words, but the words themselves shape our journey, and they shape our experiences, and they tell you, feel this, and if you feel that, this is the way. Come over here. Because my discouragement might lead me to despair. And the Psalms will tell me, no, that's the wrong direction. Your discouragement is legitimate, but it shouldn't lead you to despair. Come, come with me, I'll show you. And the Psalm will lead you along. So that journey matters. Singing it opens us up to understanding it in that deeper level, more holistically, if you will. It engages our own wills. We own the worldview that the Psalms cultivate. We want to see what is normally unseen. And when you do it with others, we have the blessing of fellowship and the blessing of the voices in the church or the ones that we love coming along this journey with us. The full journey of each psalm needs to be experienced and encountered. And the singing forces us to engage. And every line helps us along that full journey. So we don't want to give up singing the Psalms, however you choose to do it. If you want to do the meters, if you want to learn more in the chants, or you want to do all of them, it's very, very valuable. There is more blessing there than I think what we have experienced so far, certainly what I have experienced so far. There's so much blessing. I want to just encourage you to pursue it wholeheartedly, whether you do it home or just on your own or with others here in the church. It's not hard at all, at least the metrical version, and we found even the Gregorian chant. It's not hard to learn. You could get together and learn a chant without too much difficulty. It's a blessing. So we want to use it. It is a gift of God. It is a precious, precious gift. And there's much there to be had for us. So I got these psalters here in your handout. You will see I still have a few of the recommendations for metrical psalters. I don't have Trinity Psalter. That one's a really good one. So I got 1, 2, 3, 4 metrical psalters and then one each of the chants if you want to pursue that. A lot of the stuff can be found online too, but I like having the books. I think it's really nice. So we're going to wrap it up there. So I want to encourage you to keep pursuing it. Keep pursuing it and engaging them on the level of song. That is how they were given to us, and that is how we want to use them as well. Jordan?
Can you say that again? Can we ask you guys to cut the mic?
Cut the mic and computer and then sing the first four verses of the chant? Yeah. Cut the mic. Or should I turn it off here?